the Lord has allowed little time. So let's use this time that we do have. So I've reached out to the elders a while back and said, these are the three themes that I believe has life on them that might be what the Lord wants to say. Thinking that God's voice is such an obvious one in our church and church family. And then they came back, and especially Pietri said, like, you believe there will be life in talking about and preaching on a series of God's voice again. And I thought, well, we probably did it recently. And then I went and go have a look of when last we did a proper series on God's voice. And it's been 10 years ago, believe it or not. Even though it's so part of our culture in what is the Lord saying to you and what is He speaking to your heart. But I'm really excited about this. I'm like that lighty that has practiced my whole life and done all the, jumped through all the hoops and played all the games and smelt like deep heat many a times and gone through injuries. And now you can play for the Boca and you're a bit nervous. You don't want to knock the ball because I'm just so, so zealous about this topic, the voice of God. Who's passionate about the voice of God? Hallelujah. We're in good company. So we've been looking at what real kingdom living should look like for Christians. And we said, very basically, we need to be a people of the word, prayer, people that obviously lay down their life for community, and then also serving. And thank you for those who are walking that out. And then at the camp, we said to one another, hey, we need to be a people of faith, walk by faith and not by sight. And so I believe it touches beautifully on this topic of faith, because faith comes by the hearing and hearing by the word of God. When God speaks, that is the way in which we have faith. So today, if the Lord ministered to any of you, and it was His Spirit, you will know by testing that word, and all of a sudden it will create a faith in you. It will create a faith in you, and that is the way in which the Lord wants to come and stir us. Do you know that hearing God's voice is very normal for Christians? For who is it a bit up? For who of you guys might it be a bit abnormal to hear God's voice? Let's be honest. We need to have honest conversations. Anybody? Hallelujah. There's one or two people. Thank you so much. Because I believe we need to have honest conversations about the topic so we can truly grow together. So it's one of my highest values, something that I really, really, really love, as I've said. And I think I'm not big on tombstones, so please don't give me one day. But if I should have a tombstone, I would love it to only say the following. Wat het God gesê? And I think many of you guys, if you've known me for a number of years, my question would very often just very simply be, wat het die Here gesê? What did God say? Because I believe our Father, being the highest authority, being sovereign, being love Himself, being ever faithful, the faithful one, knows best. And I've fallen in love with the fact that if I heed to His voice, in other words, I hear and I obey, not only hear, tickle my ears and go on, but if I hear and obey, I've seen some pretty good fruit. And in the earlier years of my existence, when I've not heeded to the voice of the Lord and to His word and gone my own merry way, I've seen absolute decay and destruction. Anybody like that? Hallelujah. A couple of born again Christians in the house. I'm really stoked to hear that. So it's something I'm really passionate about, but like that young boy running out for the box, I also realize it is a massive, massive theme. And I might not do it proper justice, but I pray that the Lord will speak to us about speaking to us. Does that make sense? Will you allow the Lord to speak to you about His voice? Because in my life, the first time, and yeah, be very careful, anybody young and in love, just be careful for what I'm saying right now. But the first time I remember that I've heard the Lord really speak to me was about marrying Edna. And no, it wasn't the pizza, and it turns out not to have been my flesh, even though it was quite excited itself. But, and please, I will never teach this or disciple this to any young believer because I think it can go a bit strange. But be that as it may, God decided that He will speak to me and reveal Himself properly. Obviously, He'd done so before, but then I realized He's speaking to me. So I was sitting in the law section of the University of Stellenbosch Library studying. So that's what you do when you study law. You plan getting married to Edna, rather, with the Lord. It's much more exciting than Roman law. And so I was sitting there, and I clear as day can remember the vision the Lord showed me. Didn't hear an audible voice. We'll get to that down the line. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I just sensed the Lord showed me a picture and then confirmed that this will be my wife. And from that day on, that's many years ago. What was that? 21 years ago. Ever since, I would have loved to say that I've been walking about hearing the Lord in many things. It might be, can I buy the Viennas because I am totally bankrupt living in Malmesbury, to, Lord, should we move abroad or should we stay? Lord, should we buy this house or should we not? And each and every single thing of my life, but maybe a bit wide, but 90% of the things in my life, I would love to have the voice and fingerprints of God upon them. I've just seen that that works. Not only for me, but it's this beautiful relationship. So as you can see, I'm not trying to sell God's voice, but I believe it's one of my highest values, and it should be and can be and should be probably all of ours. Every season to season, we've been living as we've followed the Lord. And have we missed the mark? Yes. We need to be honest about that as charismatics as well. Have we sometimes misinterpreted what we've heard from the Lord and what we believe? Absolutely. But I want to be childlike. I want to play in the water, and I want to pursue the Lord in walking on the water again and again and again, because I've seen Him graciously lead us in spite of us. Are you still hungry to learn more about the voice of the Lord? Great. The thing is, as I said, it's very wide, but I do believe we need not rush the topic. We've got the rest of our lives together, and then we've got eternity, spending around His voice, around His presence. And I think let's not rush this on, and let's make sure that we build a wineskin according to Scripture, and let's tackle a couple of these topics together so that we, after looking at it a couple of angles, I want us to be a people that can honestly say in humility, we hear from the Lord and we walk in obedience. It might take a while. In intro, I also want to say that what I have come across is that sometimes we hear the Lord's voice out of our own echo chambers. What does that mean? Anybody? It means I'm just actually following myself. I'm following my holy huddle or the hub around me, and I think it's God, but it's not. Who's ever seen a charismatic do that? That side. Guys, they're skittering about you guys. But that side decided, no, they've seen it. Who's ever seen people like follow the voice of God, which was clearly not the voice of God? Yes. Should we have conversations about that? Everybody's like, yes, about the other ones, just not about me. No, but I think in humility and in love, clothed with Jesus, we need to have conversations about the echo chambers that we hear in our heart that is maybe not the Holy Spirit and the Word, right? Or when somebody's voice of God is actually just a bigger version of themselves. Have you ever seen that? Because God loves Fallies. He loves a skinny jean. He's definitely a Stormer supporter. And I think He likes to braai, right? Absolutely. But here's the thing, we laugh at it, but sometimes we can build our lives, and yes, there is room to make mistakes in humility and love. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But often we might build a persona around who this God is, but it's not scriptural. It's not Jesus of the Bible. It's actually Jesus that's just a bigger version of Retief. What do we need then to help us? I'm not preaching on it today, so you can relax. But what do I need then? Accountability, yes. I need the Word, the Spirit, and the body. Christ the Word, Christ the Spirit, and Christ's body. He gives us that we cannot make too many mistakes. It's there if we allow Him in. So, and then lastly, I believe we need to get practical as well. So quickly, just a couple of bases. That's a basis laid down, but a couple of bases around God's voice. It is beautiful. That is not an exhaustive list. It is just a couple of things I thought of. He creates. That there should be a comma, and He calls forth. God, when He speaks through His voice, creates. We'll look at that today. And then He calls forth things. Have you ever seen God, through speaking to you, call forth something in your life? A new season, a breakthrough? Anybody? Healing? Come on, hands up. Hallelujah. There's faith in the room. So that's what He does. He's authoritative and carries all authority. That's great when it is going, well, that is great when it's about my breakthrough, but it sucks when it's about me being disciplined by the Lord, right? But He brings through His voice authority and carries all authority. He brings all of life, I believe, through His speaking. He gives direction. He redeems. He makes whole again. Who's ever been healed through God's voice speaking to you? And we'll figure out what is audible and what is just the sense through the Spirit. We'll unpack all of that. So please relax. But yes, I have definitely been made whole often and a lot and much needed through God, speaking through His Spirit, speaking through His Word, and speaking through His people. Hallelujah for the voice of God. He reveals certain things. Who's ever been able to see something that the Lord reveals to you through speaking to you? Who's ever had a moment where you thought something was revealed, but it wasn't the Lord? Come on, let's be honest. Yes, because as you look around, you realize, hey, this is relational. It's a working out. It's not a tick box exercise. I have to get everything right. He allows us, just as that little ones in the mother's room are learning to walk and find their way with some help, so the Lord is with us in learning His ways and His voice. His voice is eternal. It is love. It gives hope and it stirs faith. But here we come to the basis we need to lay down. Because here's the thing. We can spend 3 to 10 weeks on this series and you can think, oh, what? And it can go over your head, or it can pierce your heart. It can renew your mind. The Spirit can come and freshly anoint you. It can challenge you to lay down idolatry or whatever the case may be, and it can change you. But we need to work from a foundation, a basis. Can we have that conversation before we pray? Here are the following things. We need the fear of God when we speak about God's voice. Is that okay? Annika's like, she checked messages, I meme. Is it okay, Annika? It's okay. Annika says, all right, great. The fear of God is needed when we talk about this, because there's a lot of junk out there as well. There's all, unfortunately, amongst Christians, semi-Christians, kind of Christians, lots of stuff that is not God. It's not reflecting Jesus. It's not reflecting God. And if ever that was me, I repent now. Whenever the Lord will convict me in this series, I will repent. But we need the fear of God. We also need to realize we don't only a word people. We're not only the Holy Spirit people, not only the churchy people. We need that balance of the Lord to truly hear God's voice and learn from Him. We need humility and teachability. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I kind of know, I'll switch off, then you're actually going to miss what the Lord wants to give you. So we need to make sure we have a humble posture and we're teachable. We need childlike faith. We're going to have honest and accountable conversations with one another, not harsh or hard, but just saying, hey, but if you said the following, I've had these conversations. I really believed we were going to move to London at some stage, to the UK. Through countless things the Lord said to me, for a number of years I carried this thing and it didn't work out the way I thought. So I had to go back to the drawing board, as they say, as Nos Buta would say. And I needed to say, Lord, what happened? I heard these things. I worked them through. I prayed. I had confirmations. But yet, Lord, I saw in part and understood in part. Where are You in all of this? Because it's about Your name. It's not moving country that's the main thing. It's not about me. It's about His name. Should we be a people when it comes to the voice of God with holiness and reverence and glory unto His name? Not that the rest of the world would think you guys are nuts. Is it important? Yes. So we'll have these conversations. And then lastly, I want to tell you, I would just quickly want to debunk a lie. And I want to say to you, you can hear God's voice. Can you breathe? Anybody here who cannot breathe? Nobody. Great. So all of you can hear God's voice. Here's the beautiful truth. You can also hear other voices. No, we've not lost the plot, but that's part of the spiritual world we live in. Here's the thing. We want to denounce, renounce, leave out, cut off all other voices of the stranger, and ultimately be a people of God's voice. But I want to make this crystal clear. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can hear God's voice. If they frowned too much, forgive them. They just need more faith. But here's the thing. We need to start off from these bases. We need the fear of God. We need those things. And we need to know you can hear God's voice. It's very simple. Let's go. In the beginning, let's start at the beginning because we've got so much time. I was wrestling with this because, as I said, I'm like this young kid thinking, Lord, this is the moment. This is my favorite topic, but where do I start? There's so much. There's so many testimonies. And I realized you probably need to start at the start. Just want to grab my Bible. And I was in this week just thinking the whole time, it needs to start in Genesis. Where's your voice in Genesis? It can't be that hard. It just needs to start in Genesis. Anyway, A.W. Tozer says the following, God's voice is speaking tenderly to our hearts today. It's the same voice that powerfully called creation into being. We can't have a creationist versus evolution debate now. And I don't think it's necessary in this room. I hope, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. But the truth is, God spoke everything into being. He spoke it into being. And if you need to go refresh your memory or you need to go fight this one, please do so. We can't stand still on it. But this is the fact that our God is so powerful and so amazing that He spoke all that is beauty. As I ran this off of this morning and I saw again the beauty of where we live, I just realized He spoke it all into being. And then when you need redemption into your life, Petri, when God changed your life, He spoke a redemptive work into your life again, right? He spoke it into being through Christ. And so this is the God we serve. So in Genesis 1 and 2, we see the following. God created all by speaking it into being. Do you believe this, church? Okay. Thanks, Emmy. I love that hand. Out of nowhere, time, space, and all the living world, forth as God speaks the universe into existence. Imagine if we worry about bills, or we worry about a sore toe, or we worry about the nonsense that we do worry about. Just think about this again. As he spoke, he did all of this. God speaks the universe into existence. With the utterance of his voice, creation takes form. Chaos yields to order. If you've got three kids, you go like, Amen, Broer. Chaos yields to order. Light eclipses darkness, and emptiness fills with life. If there's any emptiness, not only in the universe, but in our heart, He fills it with life. You just need to hear, what is He saying? And so we started off in Genesis. Let's look at Genesis 1, and you know this, but let's just build ourselves a wineskin together as we kick off the series. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It's almost like me as a student not being saved yet. Total chaos. Spirit hovering over me. People praying for me. And then the Lord said. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that light was good. And God divided the light into darkness and darkness. And called it the light day and the darkness He called night. So evening and morning were the first day. Verse 6. Then God said, let there be firmament, soil, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so He goes on, and each time God speaks. So when we talk about the voice of God, it's not only about you getting the increase, or you getting the breakthrough, or you getting the blessing for the Lord of the new car, or whatever. This is the God we talk about when we're talking about a God that speaks, the one that created all. And so He still creates today. I remember, and I've shared this testimony, one of the greatest memories just after I got saved. I was a total mess. Less of a mess and more of a mess than I am now. Hopefully now less of a mess. But at that stage, you wouldn't have seen or thought that. And so somebody came and prophesied over me. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit, God speaking, saying that your new name is Faithful Warrior in Christ. And that is a handle to which I still need to hold on today in some of the battles I face. But it's blessed me. Because the God who created Table Mountain, the sea, all that there is above and below is also the God that said, this is the real you. What did He say about you? That ever-creating, redeeming God of ours, who speaks it into being. What is He saying about you? How powerful is this as He calls us? Then Genesis 2, verse 15, we go on, we jump a bit further. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden and to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded, again, we see that he uses his mouth, his voice, by saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. Kind of it's a pretty good instruction from the Lord with his mouth, would you say? Would you have said, okay, cool, I understand that, thanks. Yes, we all would have. Right. Let's jump to Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he, what? He said to the woman. So he has a voice. The serpent, the enemy, has a voice. Has God indeed said? So immediately since the beginning, we said there was a battle around God and his voice and what he says. The authority, the heart, the love of God speaking. And it was what? Through a counter voice of the enemy. Has God really said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And so Eve goes on to explain to the snake, explain to the serpent, yes, he said that. So she was quite clear on it. But yet, in Genesis 3 verse 8, we see the following. That's a lawyer and me coming through. I apologize. So between these two, what happened? She took off the fruit. So she ate the fruit, exactly what she was commanded not to do by the voice of God. And she what? Handed it to Adam. Yes. Adam. I fall to pens and poikies for hierdie trick. He has some of the fruit. And we know that sin enters the world, brokenness, fallenness, and what did God say? You shall surely die. So death enters in. We're like, oh man, come on, this is so unfair. I never took a bite of that. Yet it had such a big implication on my life. But let's go on, because I was looking for the voice of the Lord, and there in the King James, right at the beginning, it is. So fall happens, they sin, they miss the mark. Relationship for that moment gets broken between Adam and Eve and God. And yet, see the first thing that we read. And they heard the voice. Other translations says sound, but King James is kind of a good translation to believe. So immediately they see, and they heard the voice, call, or sound of the Lord God walking. That walking, by the way, I read some commentaries about it. It's not walking from A to B. It's actually like walking from D to A, B, C, F, G, X, back to A. It's like from all sides. Immediately, they were confronted by the voice of God from all sides. You see what happens? Immediately, the voice of God came. In that moment of utter destruction and loss and fallenness, the voice of God was there. But see how man reacts. See how sinful and fallen man reacts to the voice coming from all sides. I believe this is a key for us as a starting point. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice. So interesting. First thing with the sin and the brokenness of man is that Adam says, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And I think there's something profoundly important for us to see in this, all of us. Because that is the way in which natural man operates in the event of fear and shame and sin. We hid ourselves and we run away from the voice of God. And he said, who told you that you were naked and you know the rest? But I want us to see that the first thing after the fall and sin entering the world, what confronted them? Obviously God, but the word says the voice of God. The voice and presence of God confronted them. What does the Holy Spirit, by the way, do today? It what? It convicts the world of righteousness, sin, and judgment. I believe it's the same voice that's saying, hey, no! What have you done? And what does fleshly, broken person do? I hide myself. I hide myself because of the holiness of this voice. That is what the natural man immediately does. And I think it's a great key for us as we set ourselves up. So man's perfect. moment in creation is broken because of sin, and we learn from that. But how was it then restored? And how can we today say that we can be a people that do not hide away from the voice of God? How can we? How is it restored? Anybody?
Hallo, kom in asseblief. Hoor jy hulle my?
Ah, Jesus. Dankie, Karen. Yes, yes. It's restored through Jesus. So I was asking God, please speak to me. How do we start this series? What is on your heart? Because I knew there was a link for us in Genesis, and I knew Jesus is the answer, but how do we fix this issue that we have about having His voice, losing it, running away as humans from His voice, not wanting it because of shame and hiding ourselves away from the voice? How is it fixed in Jesus? And then I asked the Lord, please speak to me. He has a good testimony about God's voice and Him speaking. And I said, please, Lord, speak to me in a dream. Who's ever asked the Lord that? Who got a different dream? I've also had that, but it wasn't the case. So what happened on Friday night, I was still haggling about how the Lord wants to unpack it. And I said, Lord, please speak to me in a dream. So in this dream, it's lots of stuff, church things happening, driving here, putting in petrol. And all of a sudden, this clear as daylight, a number, like flashing, 1534. Like I don't do the numbery thingy usually. So 1534. And in my dream, I say to another guy, God is speaking to me with a number. I think it's maybe 1,300. That's how I'm wired sometimes. Maybe it's going to cost 1,534 rand. And immediately I see this in my dream. I dream on and again this number just comes up. 1534, just clearly. And I wake up. I hardly ever remember my dreams. And I remember this. And I'm like, I don't even know if to write it down. It was so clear. And I'm like, Lord, you spoke to me. You gave me a key. But what the dingus, Lord? And I'm like, is it a monetary term? Is it a year? I go Google. In 1534... You might believe that Luther actually produced the first German Bible. I'm like, Lord, very nice information, but what am I going to do with this? And so, just to cut a long story short, I Googled 1534 and God's voice. And immediately Mark 15, verse 34 popped up. And you can see what it is. Let's go there. And I believe God answered me through His voice of how it all was fixed again through Jesus Christ. That was broken in Genesis. God giving me that number. I'm thinking, ah, what the? And here you might say, oh, really? In a dream? But that's the heart. That's why I say we need a basis of childlike faith. We need to be humble in the way in which we receive from the Lord. And then I'm like, hallelujah. That's the answer, Jesus. There is the answer to our predicament of Genesis. And being the sixth hour, darkness came over all the land until the ninth hour, and there, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, again Him speaking now, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, sorry for the pronunciation, which is being translated as, my God, why did you forsake me? Why have you forsaken me? And the answer I just very clearly see there, and you can test it, is that Jesus, for the first time, had to lose the voice of God for a moment. He had to sacrifice not hearing the voice because of the sin of Adam and Eve, because of our brokenness. And so He had to lay down hearing His Father. Remember, they've had forever and a day, they have had perfect communion. He has heard and they've heard one another's voices. But because He took my sin and your sin upon Himself, He said that I will be broken away from the voice of God for this moment so that you may hear again. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, giving me this weird dream and this number. I believe you are just simply saying to us that you have restored it in Christ. And if this is not my premise, if this is not my bare foundation of hearing God's voice and the price that it cost Jesus and God His Father, I might be flippant about it. I might be just a charismatic that just throws it around. Oh, God het gesê, God het gesê, God het gesê. As if it didn't cost God himself and his son everything. Broken away, torn away from each other, so that I may again hear his voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring that unto me. Because you see there, the first Adam hides and shy away from the voice of God. Why? Because he listened to another voice. Yet Jesus came and he saw this mess. And he then came as the second Adam. You know, the scripture speaks about him as the second Adam. Came and he restored all by restoring our connection with, our ability to hear, and the freedom to receive and to love the voice of God again. Hey guys, I didn't prepare this, but I've just sensed it in my spirit. We should really have the fear of the Lord when it comes to the value of God speaking to us. I love when the Lord speaks to us so clearly in intercession. Then you just see this happening and unfolding. Yeah, I love it when the Lord says that he will bring breakthrough in a certain way and it actually happens that way. But I myself in this moment realize, whoa, do you know what you have? I'll go check it and I'll put it in the next sermon. But there was a time for at least 400 years where God was silent in the Old Testament. Just imagine you were the random husband and wife with your beautiful children in that age where the Lord for 400 years did not speak. Just imagine. Yet here we are on the other side of him blowing out his breath saying, God, where's your voice? My own words. Lord, where are you? I can't hear you. Yet we're on the other side of that with the grace to receive it like it's fresh air, said with respect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that grace upon my life. And so Jesus restores it. Here's the thing that we can learn from both Genesis, but luckily through the account of Christ. The old man hides and runs away from God's voice in nakedness and shame. What is the old man? It's just my flesh man not being sanctified, not clothed in Christ, not fully in faith that I'm a new creation in Christ. What is my tendency, my flesh man, my old nature? My tendency is just go hide from the voice. It's holy. It is just. It is pure. It's beautiful. But I will hide away. I will not come to places like this where the voice might be. I will not be in spaces where the voice is. I would rather go in my nakedness and shame and go hide. Are we called to be in nakedness and shame? No. For we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. But we actively need to live that faith out. For that is what we have. The new man clothed with Christ is restored to and in fellowship and in communion with the voice of God. So it's also a good measuring stick that if I really feel far from the Lord, or I've fallen in some way, and I haven't walked in the light with a brother or brother or sister in the case, and I haven't repented, then I would just think, Lord, why am I hiding? And what is all of this fig leaves doing here? It's just a good way to also just come back to the basics. When you feel like you're not connected to the Lord's voice. And maybe shame and condemnation and fear has just pestering some people. And I pray for freedom in this season. That we will humbly walk in Christ, but with that free access. Because he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Why? So that that same God will not forsake me in Jesus Christ. I will not lose contact with him. Yes, he might be a bit more quiet and reserved sometimes because I need to act upon something he said. But I've seen the Lord and I remember took out one of my old notes, and I saw there one day standing in Spar in Malmesbury, just looking at all the people. And I wrote down, and when I read it now, what is it, 15 years later, God said to me that day, Ek het iets te sê vir almal. I have something to say to everybody. Not like a nosy neighbor, like just wants to say stuff. He's just like, I have life for each and every person under the sun, if they are willing to listen in Jesus. That is us. Thank you, Lord. Let's quickly go on to the next one. Because at the end of the day, just to bring this home, Jesus should be the absolute premise and center when we talk about hearing God's voice. Not too much, not too little. Well, too much is probably good. But we need to make sure that Jesus Christ is the center when we talk about this. also when we test what we hear and what the Lord has said to us. Because what was broken right at the beginning in creation was restored by Jesus Christ. And now, like sheep, like His flock, we don't have to fear His name. We don't have to fear the Lord's voice, and we do not have to stay in our shame. You see there, John 10:4, as we end off, and when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice. You see, this is the inheritance of us, God's children. By what He paid, we can now say we know His voice. We know His voice. Yes, we're going to be sharpened, and we're going to fine-tune things over this series, but we know His voice. It is engraved in our hearts through His Spirit. Knows His voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger. What happened? What happened in Genesis? They followed who? The voice of the stranger. So that curse that came in from following the voice of the stranger, we cannot succumb to that curse again. Or maybe I should say, we should not succumb to that curse again. Amen? If I walk by the Spirit, if I stay intimate with Him, I will hear His voice, and I will not succumb. Because the voice of the stranger is still there. The fruit is still held up to everybody, every day. Like, happy for you, happy for you, happy for you. He's still doing that. Tricks didn't change. But we should be awake, based upon a firm foundation that is Jesus Christ, making sure that we are clothed with Him in humility, and then we will know when the voice of God comes. We will realize and be thankful for the price paid for that, but we will be able to resist the voice of the enemy. Not follow strangers, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So Jesus ultimately is the one that reveals God's voice, and we need to make sure that we are that people. Matthew 11:27 says, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. All of the scriptures says one thing to us. Jesus will reveal to us the voice of the Father. He paid the price so that we may hear our Father again. Not only that, He will help us unpack this. So if we talk about the voice of God, we cannot do anything but say, Jesus, we want to build upon You. We want to hear from You. Will You reveal to us through Your Word, Your Spirit, and Your people, so that we will be a people that hear Your voice and Your voice alone and nothing else. Will you stand with me, please? Next week, we'll go on to why is it important to hear the voice of God. We'll give it a couple of weeks before we get into the challenging stuff, maybe. But let's pray that we'll be that people that hear Him. Lord, we thank You for this time together. Annika, do you mind? Thank You. Lord, thank You for this time together. Thank You, Christ, that in just delivering this message, I've just realized again the price that You paid so that I may freely receive again from Father God. If you just want to say thank You, Jesus, again, because He's restored connection, He's restored the voice of God, and has given you that free access to God's voice again. You just want to say thank You. Just lift up your hand. Let's just give thanks. Let's just give thanks, Lord. Thank You, God. Billions of people will stand in judgment one day, and they would be, I would think, in grace, be envious of the grace that we had. Those people that received Him fully, that could hear their Maker speak to them and lead them and love on them and make whole again. God, may I realize what I have. May I realize afresh what our family has and what this church community has. Thank You, Jesus, for being forsaken. Thank You, Jesus, for being forsaken so that my children can receive dreams and visions and hear Your voice and be forewarned through Your scriptures, be disciplined and loved on and made whole. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And then the second thing, if you want the Lord just to come clarify the voice of the stranger in your life, just come graciously show you the voice of the stranger so that you can run away, just raise your hand. Say, Lord, I don't want to know the voice of the stranger better, but I want to discern well. And we'll deal with discernment coming up. But thank you, Lord, that we will see and hear the voice of the stranger very clearly so that we may run with you. Not to try to dissect, understand, come a bit closer, smell it, touch it. No, run. Maybe run from the voice of the stranger because it's up to no good. Thank you, Lord, that we may be a running people in this sense, to run away from the voice of the stranger. And then lastly, if you just want to say, Lord, I commit this season to you in the series. I want to really grow in hearing your voice, not only for my sake, but for my family and for my ministry and for those that you've called me. Here I am. If you say, yes, I commit, Lord, help me to hear your voice better through word, through the spirit and through your body. Here I am. Just raise your hand and just make a commitment to the Lord in your own words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the eternal value of the God of creation, forever speaking, forever loving, forever leading, forever making whole. We say, have your way, have your way, have your way in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.